was 10 years old. It was the choir at the end of the service singing a song about being washed by the blood of Jesus and making me, washing me, cleansing me, making me whiter than snow. Beautiful, beautiful words. Let me pose a question to you. Are you employed? Are you employed in the field? Are you in the field? Are you working in the field? Scripture declares we are laborers together with Him. Are you working in the field? Are you in the field? Elder Hart and I attended the General Conference in Indianapolis this last week for 24 hours anyway. And it was the first night, and Brother Huntley from North Carolina was preaching, and the content of his preaching was the treasures in the field, and talked about being in the field. And it's still ringing in my ears, my spiritual ears. I want to be focused in the field. I want to be engaged in the field. I want to be employed in the field. I did find it interesting, towards the latter part of his message, he made a declaration. He said, every pastor ought to be a bishop, and they ought to be working over multiple congregations. I've heard that somewhere before. I'm looking for the recording, matter of fact, now. Turn with me to the book of John. Chapter 4, John 4, verse 3. I was up really early this morning, and I listened to the recording from Wednesday night, Sister Pat's testimony, and Brother Brandon Berglund's, what he shared and testified about. And then I went back to bed because it was really early. And then when I got up, I felt like I was still in the spirit of the things that were communicated and led to this particular portion of Scripture. And so I'd like to just read to you, maybe comment. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, that would be in the flesh side, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. He might have said it more like, you know, may I have some water? For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy, King James uses the word meat. It was some kind of food. They were hungry. They were physically hungry. They had natural needs that needed attention. So Jesus, being wearied, said, look, guys, you go ahead. I'm going to stay here and get some rest. They went into the city to buy food to bring it back. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I know that I have ministered it here. I know that I've ministered it in other places where I have observed at times where people seem to only be drawn to their own kind, to stay within a group and not venture out or not even attempt to reach in. And sometimes it's a point of familiarity or comfort, a place of comfort. I think we are all comfortable around what we might refer to as our own, or and whatever that involves, whatever that means. It might even be your vocation group. You know, that would be like electricians only comfortable around other electricians because when they open their mouth and talk, they can talk electricity. Screws, bolts, screwdrivers, screw guns, tool belts. And as we, you know, go through life, these things are shaped and formed around us. You know, as children, we're very formidable. In other words, the things that take place in our childhood can sometimes shape us in different ways, but oftentimes it can begin to cloister us, culture us to a place of being familiar there. That seems to be our place of dominating presence. I've observed people go to work and just kind of exist on the job, just kind of work. Limit their interaction. Only do what's asked of them. And they feel like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in answer to their boss, obviously, their supervisor. But then when they get home, it'd be like the Moore House. For hours. So comfortable with each other, so comfortable in their sphere, but maybe standing at work, it's like, no, I'm not sure because I haven't followed any of you to your jobs. But I have observed this in people that we become comfortable around our own. But something inhibits us, restricts us from opening up completely in other places. Here we have a dynamic in a society where Jews and Samaritans do not mix. This wasn't something that just started one day or that was prevalent between these two people. But it was society, and it was cultural groups. Now, language can restrict us. Our ability or our inability to communicate. We feel sometimes intimidated by our ability or our lack of ability to communicate well. You know, I used to get so nervous when somebody was introducing me to somebody else. Because of my nervousness, all my focus was on getting my name out right. That I never even heard their name. I mean, literally, I didn't even hear what they said. And later I'd have to say, what was their name? Didn't even register. I was so nervous to be in public and be introduced to somebody. Now, I've overcome that. Not sure how, but I did in time. Jesus had no problem talking to anybody. You know, there is something about when peace comes into your life, how you can open up to somebody because the focus moves. The focus moves off of you. You know, I didn't have peace. I was nervous. I was scared. I was insecure. I was intimidated. All that stuff. Therefore, all the focus was on how I handled the exchange, that I couldn't even remember anything about them. I can remember a change coming over time, especially when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peace came into my temple that I could begin to turn my focus on individuals, that when I begin to communicate out of my mouth, I wasn't thinking, now understand this right, I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. Let me say it this way. I wasn't overly conscious about what I was saying because I was probably communicating in a fashion to get a response, to get some kind of engaging to take place. Unconscious of the fact that if that would just begin, that in the exchange of a spirit-filled believer, there's something that transfers. There's something that moves. There's something that quickens. There's something that... We know what the something is. It's the Holy Ghost resident in us that opens up people to us. Not because of what they see. It's what they hear or perceive when we begin to dialogue and communicate. So Jesus simply says, can you give me a beef taco? I mean, how about a glass of water? Excuse me? How about a glass of water? You're Jewish, I can tell by the way you're dressed. I'm obviously Samaritan. You and I both know. We don't mix. I have lived in various parts of the United States through my lifetime. And I have been exposed to situations, circumstances, communities that remained completely apart. Do you know that you can go into New York City and find the Italian section? The Chinese section? And I'm guessing by now, the Latino section. They were the latecomers in the bunch. Because all of the migration came out of Europe. There was the German migration. There was the Polish migration. I used to babysit a little Polish boy who had cerebral palsy and could not walk. I am thankful for that little window of time because of how it affected me as a person. I was only about 14 years old. But my stepmother, when she migrated from the Ukraine, they came into New York. They came into Ellis Island. Matter of fact, I've walked through Ellis Island with her, watched her tears as she began to recall memories. And when they got into the country through New York, they went straight to Chicago. Why? Because there was a large Ukrainian community in Chicago. And it was a place of welcome, gaining entrance, being able to freely communicate, share in the same foods, share in the same lifestyle, so to speak. And so we have in our country cloistered communities. I really only expected to get up and just read these scriptures. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, could go among any group of people not like himself and begin to communicate with their life in mind, not his life. The focal point of this conversation was not on necessarily who he was. However, he did say, if you did know who I was, you would ask of me a drink and I would give you a drink. And you wouldn't need another one. So, you want me to read it? Let's read it. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which in a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Perceiving in the natural. She can't see the spiritual. Deep well. You don't have a bucket. What are you talking about? I feel that way sometimes when I'm having conversations with people. Because they can't seem to get outside of this. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband. She, what? What's my husband got to do with this? This conversation is between you and I. He knows. He knows. Isn't it amazing? Just a couple words spoken opened up everything. All of a sudden, the light was all shining upon her life. It could be that she attempted to do what you and I do sometimes. Door closed, locked. We ain't going in there. Oh, the unction of the Holy Ghost. The inspiration of God's Spirit. That living, indwelling word that will manifest itself in a moment on the porch of a church. In the hallway. Anywhere. What is he doing? Why did he feel the need to go to Samaria? What did he say when they went looking for him many years before, when mom and dad lost track of him coming home from Jerusalem? There was an indwelling presence in the man, Christ Jesus, that compelled the vessel to be about his Father's business, to be in the field, laboring with him. You know, when you labor with God, I don't know that you can call it work. You never feel the need to get paid? Punch a clock? Because it's who we are. We are laborers. We are workers together with him. And he wants to be in the field. Samaria was the field. Because of this one individual. Now you can rationalize all of this and say, well, you know, she was a certain individual. Well, that's true. And God will lead us to certain individuals. But he would do it for the individual's sake. Whether it would ever go any further than that. He would lead us to an individual to communicate the redemptive message. Just to know that when the time of judgment comes, I sent them a voice. I sent them a messenger. They communicated the word. They were given my plan. And it was they that rejected. Do you ever wonder how much trouble would God go through to even just do that? I feel this compelling. There's this person I went to school with, and we connected on Facebook, and I noticed they live in Schenectady, New York. I don't even know why, but I'm buying a plane ticket, and I'm going to get on the plane and go and spend a weekend with this former classmate. And in the exchange, there is the sharing, there is the testifying, there is the giving out of God's redemptive plan, how to apply the blood. You all know that plan. And in the end, you get back on the plane. You fly back to Seattle. And you go on with life, waiting for the next compelling. Oh, you will have to wrestle through the thought processes, the arguments that your mind will even bring to you. Man, that was a waste of time. And money you didn't even have. You bought a plane ticket. You would have been more effective to have gone across to your neighbor and knocked on their door. Wouldn't have cost you anything. How much would God go through for such a circumstance? What is your faith telling you? No, he's more efficient than that. He doesn't work that way. He'd do that for a soul. He'd do that for a soul. The same individual that would buy the ticket, get on the plane, put all life on hold, to participate with God for the benefit of one individual, giving them a chance, giving them an opportunity. See, that same individual would say, I feel like I need to go to Samaria tonight. And that same individual would go and testify. Do you know that we have the spirit of witness? All we have to do is cooperate. We have the word of reconciliation, bringing people back to God.
He gave it to us.
All we have to do is cooperate, participate. Let him order our steps, lead our way. Go to Samaria. So the exchange takes place. He gives to her the eternal formula. He opens up her life a little bit. Call your hubby. I don't have a hubby. Yeah, I know. You've had five. And the one that you're with is not him. Don't you hate it when he does that? No. That's what you want him to do. Open me up. Show me what I really am. And in that exchange, in that experience, there is an intimacy that comes between God and you. He knows it all. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden. Something happens in the exchange. This lady who has gone about life, and it continues and goes a little further, but the end result is she goes back home into the city.
Yeah.
And she can't help herself. Mm-hmm. She immediately goes to her neighbor. You're not going to believe it. And there was this guy, and we started talking, and I am telling you. And then the next neighbor, and the next somewhere. The Bible says the entire city went out to where he was. Now, if you thought for a minute that anybody that you would testify to would respond in the way that the people of this city did, people that she knew, here's what's interesting. Some people would begin to testify. No, wait a minute. Let me go back. Nope, can't go there. They believed this lady. For whatever reason, there was such a change that had come over her, even through this encounter. Something offered legitimacy to her words. Do you know that a liar can even gain that? You know, some people just can't help it. They started the habit when they were a kid, and they're still struggling to get over it. They just keep lying. It's usually easy to see through them after a few circumstances. You just know. You know, if their lips are moving, they're lying. I've heard it explained to me that way. If their lips are moving, they're lying. But even a liar, even a thief, Even a tax collector. IRS agent? I don't know. Can have such a change come over them that their words become legitimate. I mean, don't you marvel over the fact that just a little Sunday night dinner at Zacchaeus' house, and his whole world is turned upside down, and he's so changed, he starts taking action on his former life, trying to go back and reverse some things. He's obviously turning over a new leaf. He's obviously moving in a new direction, because the visit of this man to his house, the words that were shared, the ministry that took place, so affected him. You have the word of reconciliation. You have the spirit of witness. We have it. Are we in the field? Are we employed? So the people go out. They have their own personal exchange. And the Bible says that they communicated to the woman. You know, at first we believed because of what you said, but now he's had this impact on us. Now we believe because of his impact upon us, or our own personal relationship with him. This is before the Holy Ghost was outpoured. This is before the spirit of witness ever come upon the lives of individuals besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. He hath given to us the word of reconciliation. Thereby we stand in Christ's stead, saying, be ye reconciled unto God. I think there are women at the well. I think there are individuals whom will be led to them. Could be a man by the well. Or the gas pump or something. I say, let the spirit of witness prevail in our lives. Amen. His apostles come back from Burger King. They brought a bag. They see the woman. She's a Samaritan. Nobody says nothing. But they're giving these looks back and forth to each other like, what is going on here? Can you believe this? Don't say nothing. Don't embarrass him. Little time passes. Master, we got you a couple of Big Macs. No, what's the other one? Whoppers! Extra onion. What does he say? I have meat to eat. Wow, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. That you know not of. See, he's full. Because being involved in the exchange. Man, are you feeling what I'm feeling? Being engaged in the exchange meets a need, feeds an appetite of our Savior. Because he's involved in the field. He's engaged in the exchange, and he is reconciling an individual unto God. Are you employed? they could not perceive in the natural. Because their first thought is, did somebody else come and bring him food? Let him take us there. Let him open these eyes, the spiritual, to see that we could participate at the level he's participating in. Are you a believer? Raise your hand. I am a believer. I have an indwelling spring of water. I am employed. I am called. I am chosen. You're just repeating the word of God because this has already been declared unto us. This is who we are. But we have to be on guard that our life does not become consumed with us, our situations, and that we are ever available to him. Test it. Try it out.
How do you stand? Sergey, can you throw up there Mark 16? Verse 17. 17, please. Sorry. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And this is the verse. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Do we know what it is to preach, right? It's just to declare. If I declare the goodness of God to a coworker, I just preach to a coworker. We call this preaching. This is just ministry. This is flow ministry. It's word ministry. People say, God called me to preach. Every one of you are called to preach. You're called to declare the gospel, the goodness of God. That's just the final answer. It's settled, forever settled in heaven. So they went forth and they declared everywhere. Man, you would not believe what God did for me. Sometimes my lifestyle declares the goodness of God. Last Monday night, I was at a dinner in Orange County. There was a guy that was with me who I've been at two dinners with now in the same place. He's from South Carolina. I'm from Seattle. We're both two times now in the last month. We've been at the same hotel, the same dinner. And I said goodnight, got ready to leave, and he got up from the table and started following me back to my hotel. And I got to the door, and he stepped in front of the door. We had this awkward exchange for like 10 seconds, and I was like, what's up, Andy? He says very quietly, what church are you affiliated with? What's going on? I was preaching at dinner. You preached at dinner? No, I was my lifestyle was declaring the goodness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ that's had an effect on my life. If you let the gospel affect you, if you let the ministry of the word of God affect you, become who you are. Brandon Berglund was telling me a story the other day of a guy we both know, and he said in the first week that he knew this man come in one day when I went left, sit down beside him at the across from him at the desk and said, so, he said, I'm agnostic, right? He goes, so I'm agnostic. Why in the world would he say that unless Brandon had been preaching at him? He had been. He'd been preaching at him. He'd been declaring the power of God because the Spirit of God is resident inside of him. And if he fellowships the Spirit of God on the way to work, before he gets to work, when he walks in the door, he's been fellowshipping the Spirit of God. Then everywhere he goes, the Spirit of God is just radiating from him. And this guy who just works at the behind the counter all day with him is like, man, I know what I'm feeling off of you. And I don't believe in it. Been preaching to him. And he said, I've only been around you twice, but I didn't know what church you go to. And I stood there for 2 more hours from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this man. He said they went forth and they declared everywhere they went. They preached the gospel. They talked about the good news. They talked about all the things that God had showed them, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. This is a dimension of ministry in the apostolic church that God, I believe, is wanting to manifest today. I'm not talking about just witnessing to people, praise God, I want you to come to my church. No, I'm talking about when you begin to talk to somebody, when you begin to declare something to somebody through your lifestyle, through with them, it was the spoken word. He confirmed the word, the logo. That word there is logos. He confirmed the logos with signs following. What signs followed them? The signs that follow every believer that believe that the things he says are true. And that those are the things that he wants activated in your life. Now, if you have to take up serpents and they not hurt you, that's between you and the Lord. I believe that God is wanting to do these things among us. Why don't you lift your hands right now and receive the faith that is in this room. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some people call it lifestyle evangelism. It's just everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Anything that I'm involved with, I'm letting the Spirit of God flow through me. Ministering to people. Talking to those that I'm coming in contact with. Ask them if I can pray for them. Ask them if there's anything that I can help them with. It's just the Spirit of God flowing through me. Being sensitive to His Spirit in every interaction that I have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ila la 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 ba si ata ra 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 bo ko so to ro ro ba haye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Going to open this altar up. Would you come and avail yourself to the Lord? In the name of Jesus, respond to the drawing of His Spirit upon your heart and life today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want
to see you. Higher and higher in my life.
Why don't we stand together again? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray let our spiritual eyes be opened by you, Father, so that we see every situation that we enter into from your eyes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let every encounter be seen through your eyes, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we declare it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed.